ज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे We're all very fortunate to be here in Vrindavan Dham, of all the places that we could be in this world. We're very fortunate by the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada to be sitting here in Vrindavan Dham. This morning we're going to try to say a few words to glorify some of our predecessors. Today is, of course, the Avirbhav Titi of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, who is the spiritual master of the founder Acharya of ISKCON, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once, at one point in my life, I was living in Katak, Orissa, and there I had the opportunity to associate with one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. His name was Jati Shekhara Prabhu. Although he was aged, he was a grihastha, and he was living there, more or less senior resident of the Mart, Gaudiya Mart, in Katak, Orissa. And we were discussing Krishna consciousness one day, and he said, actually, there's only one flaw that I can find in ISKCON, he said. And that is that in your Back to Godhead magazine, you've put the picture of Srila Prabhupada, but not the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I didn't say anything, of course, but it's natural for any disciple to feel that his own spiritual master is the greatest acharya that ever was. So it's an expected sentiment. But the more I thought about what he said, I appreciated the fact that if it were not for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, none of us would be sitting here today. There would be no Srila Prabhupada without Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there would be no Gaur Govinda Maharaj without Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami as well. We're all very, very fortunate to have such a great, great acharya in our line and in our lives, even if only indirectly. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur compiled a notebook full of verses that are very important and which encapsulate the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And it's entitled Gaudiya Kantahara, which indicates that these are all verses that we should memorize or wear around our neck at least, just like we wear our neck beads. So in that book, he's giving a couple of Shastric definitions of what is an Acharya. And he quotes from Vayupurana, Achinoti yashastrartam achare sthapiyati api swayam acharate yasmat acharyam tena kirtitaha. An Acharya is that person who is explaining what the essential, he teaches the essential purport of the Shastra, and he establishes how to apply that Shastra by his own activities. He teaches by his own example. And therefore, this person is called Achara, Acharya. Achara means your own behavior, how you act, what you do, the example that you set. We know that Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat eve tarojanaha sayat pramanam kurate. Pramanam kurate. Just by acting, the acharyas set the pramana. They determine what is the standard that we should all aspire to. Just by their behavior. Therefore, they're called acharya. Similarly, in the Manusmriti, there's a similar reference. He says, Upaniyut yashishyam veda veda madhyapayet dvijaha sankalpam sarahasyam cha tam acharyam prachakshate. The acharya is someone who brings a disciple closer into the study of the Vedas. So, he does this by his words, and his words, the import of his words are his example. No one would listen to Srila Prabhupada until he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This was his experience. He was trying to establish something in this world after the departure of his own spiritual master. Here in India, he was preaching. Vigorously, he was preaching here in India. Even as a sannyasi, he was preaching. And of all places in the world, if people will respect sannyasis, it's here in India. But even as a sannyasi, Srila Prabhupada found it very hard to get anyone to take him very seriously. Even his behavior was perfect, but he had to establish this movement. Anyway, there's much that we can say about that. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did likewise in his generation before him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur did likewise in his generation before him. So evam parampara praptam. This thing is coming down since time immemorial, and it's actually meant to be understood by the leaders of society. Imam rajarshayo viduhu. Sakale neha mahata yogo nashtat parantapa. But every time, it becomes degraded, and so the acharyas have to keep coming. In every generation, we all go through the same lessons, we all know the same people, we all do the same things, including making the same mistakes. And we do this life after life after life. And in this world, this is the history as well. So Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he worked so hard to really establish some institutional basis for the teachings of his own father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We all sing the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and appreciate those songs. But those songs would not have seen the light of day if it were not for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though he had so many children, how many children did he have? 13. Raise your hand if you have 13 children. Nowadays, people don't do this. Previously, people had big families. They were able, and they were able to train their children as well. Nowadays, we can't do anything. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though he had more than a dozen children, only one of them saw fit to preserve his written legacy, sahityic legacy, in the form of the wonderful songs that we sing, so instructive songs about Krishna consciousness and how to become Krishna conscious. This is only one of his many, many contributions. So I'm going to read a small passage from Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava. This is a very nice book, has been produced by His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Comprehensive reference. Everything you always wanted to know about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur you can find in this book. So he's giving, in one chapter, he's giving an overview of his character in his life, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he says, he writes here, a pure devotee of Krishna cannot be understood merely by listing his achievements. His very existence is axiomatically outstanding because he loves Krishna. Non-devotees eulogize celebrities in politics, business, entertainment, social service, warfare, scholastics, and art. But if conducted without Krishna consciousness, all such activities are no more significant than straw. Thus, a pure devotee far outclasses even the greatest of great persons in this ephemeral world. Even the apparently ordinary activities of a pure devotee, such as bathing and eating, bestow immeasurable benediction on the entire universe. Simply by his presence, a Mahabhagavata sanctifies countless conditioned souls. And what can be said of those special devotees who preach the message of Krishna, who struggle within the material atmosphere to convince the fettered souls to again turn their face toward him? Krishna imbues such emissaries with divine ability to perform otherwise impossible tasks. Just as Hanuman was empowered by Lord Ram to jump over the sea, or as Arjuna was empowered by Lord Krishna to triumph at Kurukshetra, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to vigorously preach and thereby establish his message in this world. Like his beloved Mahaprabhu, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati exhibited extraordinary scholastic talents in youth, but renounced materialistic academic pursuits to absorb himself in the real mission for which he had come, practicing and preaching Shuddha Bhakti. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though he worked so hard and elevated the status of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya in Indian society around the turn of the last century, just over 100 years ago, because of the nature of this yuga, there was every chance that all of his achievements would be forgotten and run over by the mad rush for sense gratification that always characterizes this material world. Therefore, this thing has to be replicated in each generation. Srila Prabhupada came after him and did the same thing. We also have to do the same thing now. Srila Saraswati Thakur's mission is encapsulated in his own statement, Prana ache tana she hetu prachar, which means one who has life can preach. He was the first Vaishnava Acharya to preach widely since the days of Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda Pandit, and Narottam Das Thakur, and their immediate disciples, roughly 250 years prior. His method emulated that of Nityananda Prabhu, the prototypical Gaudiya preacher. Prema pracharana ara pakhanda dalan dvikarte avadhuta karena brahman. Nityananda toured for two purposes, to preach prema bhakti and to subdue atheists. Much of Srila Saraswati Thakur's didactic efforts were focused on malpractices and discrepancies in clouding the genuine path of Shuddha Bhakti. In an era when, in the name of Vaishnava Dharma, many persons flouted scriptural rules, he reestablished sanity and order in Vaishnava society by insisting that devotees know and practice the injunctions of Shastra. He particularly delineated Sambandha Gyan in considerable detail and with unprecedented philosophical insights. Above all, his Drig Drishya Vichar, that means his considerations of what is seen and what is to be, who is seeing, was wholly against the current of the world, exposing all putative religions as not alternatives to, but merely permutations of, the same contamination that constituted the essence of materialism. That's a very strong statement. Namely, the desire to enjoy independently from Krishna. Indubitably, his inner purpose was prema pracharana, communicating the apex of love of Godhead as manifest in Madhurya Rasa, about which he revealed various esoteric truths. Nonetheless, perceiving the rampant tendency of to misconstrue Krishna prema, especially Madhurya Rasa, he was necessarily largely engaged in pakhanda dalan, subduing of the atheists and demons by the method of defeating apasiddhanta. And he promoted Krishna prema only with great caution. For promotion of prema without first dispersing erroneous speculations would likely result in yet further prakriti sahajya degradation. Thus his boldness, zeal, and liberality in widely spreading Shuddha Bhakti was tempered with distinct guardedness in revealing its highest aspects. Encountering a world more full of misconceptions and decadence than ever before, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was determined to fight back, and he did so with unparalleled combative spirit. No previous Gaudiya Acharya had been so aggressive in attacking the enemies of devotion. He roundly protested anything offensive to Krishna, and was particularly strong against Mayavadis, empiric scholars, and misrepresentatives of Vaishnava Dharma. He fervidly condemned everything short of unmotivated devotional service. Fearless and outspoken, he inevitably invited hostility, yet was never deterred by adversaries. Propelled by divine afflatus, I don't know this word. Sorry. Anybody know what it means? Afflatus. The book is written that way. He went on speaking powerfully throughout his life, not caring for outside objections or even his own disciples' dissatisfaction. Maintaining full faith in Krishna, he never stepped back an inch, not even when facing threats on his life. Like the previous trailblazing Vaishnava acharyas, Sri Madhva and Sri Ramanuja, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati fought so vigorously to declare the supremacy of Krishna against opposition so envious that his life was constantly endangered. Such a forceful approach was required to redefine the predominant understanding of spirituality by establishing that the essence of saintliness was not blasé detachment from the world, but commitment to propagating through practice and precept utter servitude to the Supreme Absolute Truth. Although a proponent of the Absolute Truth, as revealed in the ancient scriptures, Srila Saraswati Thakur was not a traditionalist as generally considered. And while tuned into contemporary life, neither was he a modernist, nor was he a straddler of both worlds, but a Saragrahi, Satyagrahi means somebody who embraces the essence. He grasps the essence of things. He presented the absolute truth at the heart of traditional teachings and adopted from current practices whatever could be utilized for delivering that truth. He cut all else extraneous to the truth, including not only neoteric forms of agnosticism, but also hallowed beliefs, customs, and superstitions identified as traditional yet subtly or manifestly opposed to the ultimate truth. Decried as an enemy of orthodoxy, and indeed resolutely pitted against socially accepted forms of institutionalized deviation from Shuddha Bhakti, he was yet the only truly orthodox proponent of Gaudiya Vaishnava Dharma in that era. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, mostly his efforts were aimed at two classes, which he vigorously opposed, among the Vaishnavas. One is the caste Goswamis, and the other one is the Prakrit Sahajiyas. This is being addressed here. And of course, he was attacking Mayavad especially. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, there's one prominent impersonalist mission, still it has some prominence in the world, which was just coming up around that time, about 100 years ago. And the members of that institution claim to be sannyasis, but at the same time, they're known for eating murgi. They're called murgi mission, non-vegetarian sannyasis, so-called. Very scholarly, but not very much practicing the regulative principles. So Srila Prabhupada said that at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the preaching of the Gaudiya Math was so strong and so pervasive and influential throughout India that this mission was, practically speaking, erased. It could not get so much prominence. But because the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fell victim to their own material ambitions, they began to fight amongst one another, especially after he left. And because of that distraction, this other impersonalist mission became the most prominent so-called spiritual institution in Bengal, at least. And even to this day, if you denigrate the name of its founder, you may be killed. So Srila Prabhupada commented on that. He said, actually, it was the fault of his godbrothers that these Mayavadis have become so prominent. This is something we can consider. In another conversation with Prabhupada's godbrother Jati Shekhar, one devotee asked him, why did this happen? Even with such a spiritual master as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there can be such deviation. And his answer was very simple. He said, adhikara langhana. They overstepped their own, they didn't have an adequate sense of their own adhikar, their own prerogative. They had an inflated sense of their own importance, of their own advancement also, and therefore they fell victim. This happens in every generation. We should be very careful for this. Adhikara ulangam, do not overstep. This is something Krishna says in Canto 11 as well. Sway sway adhikare ya nishtha sa guna parikirtita. A person who has a sense of his own adhikar and stays within that parameters, that person is considered to be qualified, gunavan. And a person who either settles for something less than what he's capable of, or who attempts something more than he's actually capable of, that person will fall. That is considered to be dosha. Very, very important principle. So, just an aside here. We have some time still. But I'm going to read from a very interesting statement made by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in one of his lectures. It was in Bengali, of course. It was recorded, written down, and it's been translated in English as follows. He was speaking on the principle of Acharya Mam Vijaniyan. Who knows that verse? Who can recite that verse? Acharya Mam Vijaniyan. Krishna tells Uddhava, the spiritual master has to be considered my very self. Acharya Mam Vijaniyan. Navamanyeta Kardhichit. Never think less of him. You should not envy him, neither should you think him to be an ordinary person, even if he looks to be an ordinary person, to his family members or others. Why? Sarva deva mayo guruhu. All the gods reside within the person of the Acharya. All demigods, all saintly persons. So speaking on this principle, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke the following words. There is nothing more auspicious than serving the spiritual master. Among all kinds of worship, worship of the Supreme Lord is the greatest, but service to the spiritual master is even greater. Unless we are fully convinced about this, we cannot properly take shelter of our guru and understand that he is our shelter, protector, and maintainer. The Vedas say, Sarvasvam Guruve Dadyat. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master. If we do not serve the guru by offering our lives, wealth, intelligence, speech, mind, knowledge, and body at his lotus feet, we will not become free of our absorption in matter. We will not give up our material desires. Our material disease will not be cured, and our illusion, fear, and distress will not be vanquished. By surrendering completely at the Guru's feet, we become free from illusion, fear, and lamentation. If we aspire for the spiritual master's causeless mercy, then the spiritual master will bless us without duplicity. The spiritual master is not a mortal being. He is immortal or eternal. The spiritual master is eternal, his service is eternal, and his servants are eternal. Therefore, we have nothing to worry about if we serve him. We will be free from death. Since our material attachment, our sense of being the doer, is strong at present, we are anxious and miserable. Only the spiritual master can protect us from such formidable pride. Do we want his protection? It seems we prefer to remain trapped in material existence. If we wanted to become free, we would engage in his service. Do we have such a mentality? What to speak of giving the Guru 100% of our energy, we are not even prepared to give him 1%. Unless we accept the essence of everything, Lord Krishna, as the golden life, how can we achieve him? Our present pathetic condition is due to our not accepting the spiritual master as if he were as good as the Supreme Lord. This is the root cause of our continued attachment to matter. That is why I say one should not consider the spiritual master as an ordinary being. He is the one who can give you unlimited life. He is the doctor of your soul, your protector, your maintainer, benefactor, and selfless well-wisher. If we are not prepared to take complete shelter of his lotus feet, then we should expect to be cheated according to the degree of our negligence or our duplicity. Think carefully about this. If we are not introspective, we will not be successful. If we do not surrender ourselves 100% at the feet of that personality to whom our most auspicious Krishna has entrusted our well-being, how can he bless us? If we make a pretense of devotional service or become hypocrites while maintaining material desire, then the omniscient spiritual master will be compelled to deceive us. The Shastra states, Yadrishi bhavana yasya siddhir bhavati tadrishi. Anyone know this verse? Brahma Samhita. According to one's state of mind, one attains perfection. When you cheat your spiritual master and Krishna by serving Maya and your relatives, without taking full shelter of a guru, then the Chaitya Guru will mercifully remind you that you have not yet become a true disciple. You are not yet following your spiritual master's instructions, and your heart still contains sinful desire. Since you are accustomed to listening to your duplicitous mind and adopting the ideals and conceptions of ordinary people, that is proof that you have not yet developed ears to hear my instructions. Therefore, you have been cheated. Again, it is the duty of a disciple to accept his spiritual master's arrangements for his life without reservation. If you do not, degradation is inevitable. Oh, my friends, do not become sense enjoyers. Everything in this world is meant for the service of Guru and Krishna. If you try to usurp the objects meant for their pleasure, you will find only misfortune. Until you learn to see everything in relation to your spiritual master, there is no question of success on the devotional path. End quote. Very powerful words. We expect such powerful words from such a powerful personality. In this particular excerpt, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives no room for making gradual advancement. He forcefully demands immediate, complete, and unconditional surrender to the spiritual master himself. How could he do this? We know that primary principle of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is humility. To think oneself more humble than a blade of grass, and yet he's demanding this kind of surrender. We've already heard how Shastra defines Acharya as someone who teaches what the Shastra says. He repeats the same thing, he lives the same thing, he explains the same thing, and he trains his disciples accordingly. So what is such an Acharya to do when he comes to these statements, such as Acharya mam vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhyasu yeta sarvadeva mayoguruhu? He has to repeat the same thing. We all have this responsibility. Srila Prabhupada said many things that are not easy to repeat. And as Kali Yuga progresses, we will find that Srila Prabhupada's instructions become more and more difficult to repeat because of the lessening adhikar of our international modern audience. But it is our responsibility to explain these things patiently, and it is our responsibility, more importantly, because example is better than precept, to set the example how people should act. Because whether you like it or not, you are in that position. Sayat pramanam kurate lokastat anuvartate. As followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada, and all of our predecessor acharyas, we have this onus, we have this obligation, responsibility to demonstrate their teachings in the modern world, in 2019 and beyond. So, here it's an interesting thing. Throughout his instructions, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions, we find that he mentions repeatedly that the acharya will cheat you. This is not something that we hear so often. Your spiritual master may cheat you. But it's true. If we're not really interested in what he has to say, then he's going to give us something else according to our desire, because he is the external manifestation of the Supersoul. So, we cheat ourselves when we neglect a bona fide guru, which means neglecting to become a bona fide disciple. So, we have to question, what do we really want? This is the point. He forces this kind of reflection by his strong, strong statements. That is his great, great mercy. Great mercy. And it's already been pointed out here, among all of our predecessor acharyas, it seems like no one is so good at doing this than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In another passage he explained that the sadhu is someone who, by his saintly character and all-attractive Krishna consciousness, he inspires us to approach him submissively and to reveal what is in our hearts. Even things that we don't reveal to anyone else, we can reveal to a sadhu because such are his non-envious qualifications, his selfless well-wishing. That's palpable. And so we're inspired to surrender to him and to reveal our minds in confidence and to reveal our hearts in confidence. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when we do so, then the acharya, or the bona fide spiritual master, takes out the sacrificial knife and slashes us to pieces with it in the form of strong words. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's characteristic. Chopping technique, Srila Prabhupada used to call it. All of his disciples used to. He was famous for this. Sometimes he was called also Singha Guru, lion. Has anyone here ever, raise your hand if you ever heard a lion roaring. Very, very frightening sound, they say. It's maybe the most frightening sound that we can think of. If you hear the roar of a lion, it is a terrifying thing. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching was actually like that. Okay. Well, I'm going to continue reading a little bit here. His orthodoxy in adhering to the essence of bhakti and dharma did not inhibit him from presenting it more innovatively than had any previous acharya. We cannot actually imagine in 2019, I don't think we can really imagine just how radical Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was 100 years ago, because we all ride in cars all the time, but in those days, it was considered anathema, especially for a sannyasi, a renounced person, to wear shoes. They never wore shoes. To ride in an automobile. But he did these things. However, his own example was such that he did not do these things unnecessarily. This is another thing we can take note of. I used to live in America, in a city where it was not really necessary to have a car. And at this point, this is in the 1990s sometime, I was observing that a great percentage of the world's population is very much dissatisfied with institutions such as the World Trade Organization In fact, when I was in Seattle, Washington, there were riots against the meetings which were held there by the World Trade Organization. And I was observing as much as one can observe in the news outlets controlled by big corporations, some of the grievances that people were feeling against this organization. And I couldn't help but notice that there are a lot of the same concerns and grievances that were voiced by Muslim terrorists, for example, people who felt that their entire belief system, and if not civilization itself, was under attack and therefore had to fight back in the only way that they knew how. Then this is just after 9/11, actually, around this time. So I considered, do I really need to drive my car and patronize such organizations, which are, after all, trying to erase my faith from the face of the earth? So I stopped driving. It wasn't necessary. They had an adequate transportation system there. Many times we're using things under the rhetoric of yukta vairagya, but our actual purpose is convenience, if not sense gratification. But we have to think about these things. And when we come face to face with a sadhu, it's described in the 10th canto with respect to Narad Muni and the sons of Kuvera. A sadhu is like the sun that cannot hide anything. There can be no darkness in his presence. When we come face to face with a sadhu like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is not afraid to repeat all the instructions of his own spiritual master, all the instructions of Shastra, even the uncomfortable ones, then we can actually become purified by that interface. And that is its purpose. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did many things that no acharya had done before, insisting that for Krishna consciousness to affect current civilization, preachers would have to move with the times. He discovered previously unimagined meaning in Rupa Goswami's principle of Yukta Vairagya. Srila Rupa Goswami had discerned Lord Chaitanya's Manobhishta. What does that mean, Manobhishta? The cherished thing which he cherishes within his heart. He could understand that thing. And that was that Shuddha Bhakti should be spread to every town and village. And as the leader of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, he was fully committed to helping fulfill that desire. Now as an empowered ambassador of Lord Chaitanya and the Rupanuga Acharyas, he practically undertook that work and actualized their mission. Within 18 years, he inaugurated over 60 Gaudiya Mutts and preaching centers. Through the grace of Srila Rupa Goswami, he applied the import of Yukta Vairagya in its fullest extent by using the best commodities of this world for preaching, even to kings and even overseas. Srila Saraswati Thakur was always thinking of novel ways to distribute the message of Krishna. His theistic exhibitions, parikramas, and the use of printing press and radio demonstrated his urge to quickly, widely, and effectively deliver Shuddha Bhakti. And his originality brought success, for ultimately he propagated Gauravani more widely than any previous acharya. Actually, more widely than any previous Vaishnava acharya. What to speak of Gaudiya Vaishnava acharya. Although idealism and pragmatism rarely coalesce, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was able to combine the grassroots preaching of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur with the spirit of detachment and austerity of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji. By bringing meaningful discipline and verve into the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which otherwise was languishing under the influence of Prakrita Sahajyas on one side, and smarta formalism on the other side, he manifested a mission at once relevant to the world while patently distinct from it. This is a very, very good point. We very rarely see, put it this way, we see sometimes people who are terribly sincere, but not very competent. And on the other hand, we often see people who are terribly competent, but not very pure. But to find someone who perfectly embodies both, that is a very rare thing. Such a person can be the Acharya. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was like that. Srila Prabhupada was also like that. Pure devotee can be like that. He transformed the lives. And infused thousands of followers and trained them with love of Krishna and trained them in devotional service. At a time when there were very few such societies, he was the founder and helmsman of a dynamic spiritual movement preaching actively all over India and beyond. Being the first major Vaishnava outreach organization in centuries, it astounded the people of India with its freshness, dash, and sophistication. Yet they were astounded even more by its leader, for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a true Acharya in the mold of such luminaries as Ramanuja and Madhva. Indeed, his status outshone that of many great Acharyas dear to the Lord. Srila Saraswati Thakur never tired of talking about Krishna. His lectures were frequent and long. He was ever eager to commune with intellectuals, religious leaders, and other prominent people, and he met with nearly all who were well known at that time in Bengal, not for the sake of exchanging social niceties, but desiring to impress upon them the superlative position of Lord Chaitanya's doctrine. In debate, he was unassailable, well earning a reputation for demolishing false logic. Despite speaking to innumerable reputed scholars, he was never overmatched or obliged to conciliate. He incessantly pressed the same point to everyone, full surrender to Krishna. As a genuine and empowered Acharya, Srila Saraswati Thakur continually traveled, wrote profusely, established temples, and preached, and initiated disciples. He met with the top strata of society, invariably impressing upon them the urgent need for Shuddha Bhakti. Yet his mission was not restricted to any section of society, as he envisioned spreading the Sankirtana movement throughout the universe, to all jivas, in all species of life. By sending his representatives to the heart of the unassailable British Empire, thereby attacking Maya in her most fortified and vital bastion, he demonstrated both visionary genius and the irrepressible daring do and ambition of a true soldier. Always teaching by example, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was strict and austere, consistently shunning the material comforts his disciples were always ready to offer. He was ever callous to the external world, yet unlimitedly kind to those incarcerated within it. His pleasure was in chanting the holy names and in undergoing all troubles to induce others to do likewise. As a social reformer, he opposed the adventitious caste system of the day, instead promoting the pristine alternative of Daiva Varnashram Dharma. He declared the essence of Brahminical quality to be not birth, but spiritual advancement, and thus initiated aspiring Vaishnavas from all castes. Continuing the lead of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur performed unprecedented service to Sridham Mayapur. Srila Saraswati Thakur exponentially increased the work of developing the expansive Sri Chaitanya Math and other major and smaller buildings, reintroducing Navadvip Dham Parikrama and quelling the dissent of those who denied that Mayapur is the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Srimad Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, summarize the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as follows. Nikila Bhuvana Maya Tindavit Tindakartri Vibhuta Bahula Mrigya Mukti Mohant Datri Shitad Vidhiragara Dhiradhesha Dhvani Vidasata Hrida Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. Beautiful. He says, quote, with his first step, he cut to pieces the entire plane of exploitation. And with his second step, he crushed the speculation of scholars of salvation and liberation. With his third, he softened Vaidhi Bhakti with a touch of divine love, Ragmarg. Taking us beyond Vaikuntha, he has introduced us to the highest worship of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. With the softness of Vrindavan within and the hardness of a devastator without, he created havoc in the world by fighting with one and all, single-handedly battling against the whole world and cutting everything to pieces was his external feature. His second attitude was to stop the boasting research of scholars and doctors of different schools of thought. And third, to minimize and slacken the grandeur of worship of Narayan and to establish service to Radha Govinda as the topmost attainment. He caused the domain of love to descend into this plane with service to Sri Sri Radha Govinda, establishing that the flow of divine love from the heart is all in all. That was his history, the real existence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. May his divine teachings, Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, dance eternally within the core of our hearts. This translation was intertwined with Sridhar Maharaj's own commentary on it. He wrote the verse himself. He further said, although externally he was like a lion, internally he was amazingly tender and sweet, but one could feel it only by communion with the inner beauty of his personality. Externally, his worship on the path of love was full of opulence and reverence, but in reality he was worshipping the simple beauty of Vrindavan Bhakti. And with his fearful image of a lion, he established Vrajabhakti's absolute dominance in this world. After his disappearance, I described his life in one verse. If he were here now, I think he would say Sridhar Maharaj has captured me in a poetic prison. Just like Srila Prabhupada also wrote his poem, which he gave in 1935, was it, in Mumbai, Gaudiya Math. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very pleased with that as well. As observed by Sripad B.P. Puri Maharaj, who spent 13 years with him, quote, I was astounded. He was completely pure. There was no black spot in his whole life, end quote. Even though the personality of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not yet widely known amongst mundaners on this planet, the quality of his benediction far exceeds that of Buddha, Jesus, and other titans of religion. It is highly regrettable that, and a symptom of the times, that many common men are lauded as sadhus and religious icons, whereas personages of the spiritual stature of Srila Saraswati Thakur remain largely unknown to the condemned populace of this wretched age. While the blind lead the blind, Srila Saraswati Thakur is a seer of reality capable of dispelling spiritual blindness, who as a direct manifestation of Sri Krishna's internal potency is simply not of this world, and thus not comparable to any mundane moralist, elementary religious teacher, or unenlightened altruist. Yet even though Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not yet well known, his mission was undoubtedly successful, for he distributed love for Krishna across this planet through the activities of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who considered himself merely a peon in the hands of that tremendous personage. He wrote and prayed, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Shachi Shuta Priyayati Krishna Shevai Jara Tulanai Shai Shai Mohanta Guru Jagatera Madhyuru Krishna Bhakti Dehi Tai Tai. Srila Prabhupada's words. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Shachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who follows intense devotion to Krishna at different places around the globe. Tare cha balavan paschade de tan tan hoi jate gaurangir nam prithiviti nagaradi asamudra nadanadi shakalei lai Krishna nam. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world, in all cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams. Everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness to every continent, yet gave all credits to the Mahanta Guru on whose order he had proceeded. The accomplishment of this one exceptional disciple is sufficient to ensure that the name and legacy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be remembered perpetually. As His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada wrote about his spiritual master, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now today is also the disappearance day of Srila Purushottam Das Thakur. So I'm just going to read a few excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's books about him. He is sometimes called Nagard Purushottam, and sometimes he's called Purushottam Das. It's not consistent. In different places he's given different names. He was the 10th Gopal of the intimate followers of Lord Nityananda, and he was the son of Sadashiv Kaviraj. Both of those devotees were branches of the Nityananda tree, and four generations of that family were Nitya Siddhas. Kamsari Sen is the grandfather, Sadashiva Kaviraj is his father, Purushottam Das, his disappearance today, and his son was named Kanu Thakur. The Gauranganadesh Deepika identifies Kamsari Sen as Ratnavali Sakhi, and Sadashiva Kaviraj as Chandravali Sakhi. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 11, Text 38 and 9 say, the 23rd and 24th prominent devotees of Nityananda Prabhu were Sadashiva Kaviraj and his son Purushottam Das, who was the 10th Gopala. From birth, Purushottam Das was merged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and he always engaged in childish play with Lord Krishna. Sri Kanu Thakur, a very respectable gentleman, was the son of Purushottam Das. He was such a great devotee that Lord Krishna always lived in his body. Purushottam Das Thakur's wife was named Janhava Devi. She died while her son Kanu Thakur was just a young child, so Nityananda Prabhu named that boy Shishu Krishna Das. And it is said that Janhava Mata, that is Nityananda's consort, adopted and took him with her to Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in his Anubhashya on the above passage. Purushottam Das Thakur lived at Sukhasagar, midway between the Chakdaha and Shumarali railway stations. The deities installed by Purushottam Thakur were formerly served in Beldanga village, but when the temple fell into the river, the deities were taken to Sukhasagar. That temple also was swallowed by the Ganges, and so the deities were brought with Janhava Mata's deity to Sahabdanga. Since that place has also been destroyed, all the deities were again moved about 3 or 4 miles to the village of Chandure Gram, on the banks of the Ganges and about 1 mile up from Palpara. In Gauranganadesh Deepika, Nagar Purushottam and Purushottam Das are names of two different persons. Gaudiya Vaishnava Bidan gives the hearsay that Purushottam's surname was Nagar, or the name of his residence. So this is Purushottam Das Thakur. Not very much information from Srila Prabhupada's books about him, but we can offer our respectful obeisances at his lotus feet, and we also bow down at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and pray for his unlimited kripa on this holy occasion, and we can thank His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada for taking the order of His spiritual master so seriously that we're sitting here today. And we can also offer our respectful obeisances unto my elder godbrother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, whose disappearance day is also today. We didn't say anything about him because there will be some time for glorification in the afternoon, but today is also his Chirobhav Mohotsav. So I'm going to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or any comments about any of this. The program will begin in the afternoon at 12:45 here in the temple room, correct? Yes.
Thank you very much for a very enlightening discussion. Appreciate it very much. I'd like to comment on something that will be quoted from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that overstepping one's adhikar is a cause of fall down, and yet, on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada always encourages us to shoot for the right hostages. So perhaps you can comment on that.
Yes. The question is, we should all shoot for the rhinoceros, as Prabhupada used to say, think big. But we should also work within our adhikar. So what I can say, my immediate comment on this, is that this is exactly the reason that we have spiritual masters. Because a spiritual master will let us know what is our adhikar in no uncertain terms. And the spiritual master will instruct us accordingly. And he will guide us in our efforts. He will inspire us and direct us. So this is why we should never attempt to do anything without the guidance of our spiritual master. This is the idea. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado ityadi. So that's one thing. But another thing is that even in following the instructions of the spiritual master, one has to have a very healthy sense of one's own position as a conditioned soul. For example, sometimes the brahmacharis want to get married, or they don't want to get married. This is an individual decision. The spiritual master may not tell you to do one thing or the other thing, but he can enlighten us as to what is our adhikar. So this is one example. Another example Srila Prabhupada gives about this point is that, actually it's not an example, but he mentions this principle in the 8th canto. This is at a time when one of my godbrothers, who was previously a sannyasi, he had fallen away from sannyas. And with regards to Gajendra becoming weak while fighting the crocodile in the water, out of his element, Srila Prabhupada writes that a person has to be situated properly. This is why we have Daivi Varnashram Dharma. Or this is why we should have Daivi Varnashram Dharma, because for the last more than 100 years, all of our acharyas have been struggling very, very hard to combat the sahajiya tendency on one hand, and also to properly engage devotees on the other hand, accordingly with their psychophysical conditioning. And that is the regulating principle of Daivi Varnashram Dharma. So, Srila Prabhupada said he had one lamentation just before he left this world, and that was that he had not yet established Daivi Varnashram Dharma within ISKCON, but he very clearly instructed us all to do so. In fact, he said it was the remaining 50% of his mission. Those of us who were here at the time, we may remember that he personally intended to come to America, Gita Nagari farm community, and sit down and practically show us how to do this. He said this. So that was his intention, and we know that success will bless the efforts of those who follow the spiritual master, and those who do not follow these instructions, they become asara, they become cut off. So that's these are some other comments that I can make. Panchagoda Prabhu.
We should see the spiritual master as not different than super soul. Sometimes in that attempt, we may slight his godbrothers of the spiritual master, and maybe step over them a little bit, or push them aside, and hey, this is my guru, he's not even a god, but these other people are not really that significant in my life. So we see. seen that at the very beginning of our society, that the guru, the disciple trying to respect the guru in that high position, but sometimes maybe we're slightly disrespectful to the guru's god brothers.
Very good point. I remember one so-called Vyas Puja offering written by one of my godbrothers. He was a sannyasi at that time. But the so-called offering consisted of nothing but criticism and blasphemy of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And he fell down hard just after he wrote that. So, as I mentioned in the beginning, we all have to learn these lessons every generation. The same lessons have to be repeated. Either we learn them or we teach them, but somehow or other it goes on with each generation. And so we should try to learn from history instead of repeat the same history. The same thing is true with spiritual masters today and disciples today. They, in their enthusiasm to advance the vision of their spiritual master, they should be very conscious of the fact that we're working in an international institution of many, many different spiritual masters and their disciples also, and we should be very, very careful not to commit offense. Those of us in the first generation of ISKCON are somewhat spared from this, I think, because there was only one spiritual master at that time. Now it's not like that, but that is a good sign, actually. That is a good sign for many reasons, which we don't have time to elaborate on. But hatimata, the mad elephant offense, is always valid. This principle of being careful to avoid offense is always valid. It's always a great possibility. We always have to be very sensitive, empathetic. Atma upam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjana sukham vaidiva dukham sa yogi paramomata. Krishna considers the best yogi in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6 to be the person who has empathy for others. How would you feel if somebody was slighting your spiritual master in this way? So this is, we always have to consider like this. I hope that's okay. Anything else? Otherwise it's late now. I think we probably should stop. Thank you very much. One final comment from Vyasagi Prabhu.
Yeah, one final comment. And that is that a few days ago, with the Janandas celebration, the temple was packed. Here it is, a few days later, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the temple was completely empty. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning?
We have not preached widely enough the importance of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's why we should dedicate days like today for that purpose. We tried to say a few words in his glorification. Bhaktivikas Swami also in his book has observed that this is a problem. I mean, there's two things to consider. One is that dense, spiritually retarded people, I hate to put it less bluntly than that, they can only appreciate someone who provides a significant contribution to the world of sense gratification. So that's one thing. They cannot perceive, even what to speak of appreciate, the invaluable contributions of a person like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is a fact. On the other hand, even Krishna himself has no significance in his own creation, but that his devotees are constantly traversing the universe, preaching his glories. Think about it. If it were not for the devotees of Krishna, nobody would realize who he is, what is his significance, why we should worship him, what are his glories. And the same principle is applicable here, because the spiritual master is but the external representation of Krishna. We have the obligation to make it clear just what the contribution of such a great acharya was. And if we do so more widely, then people will definitely appreciate, at least those people who are interested in Krishna bhakti. So, to glorify Krishna is one thing, but to glorify the Vaishnavas is even sweeter than that. So we have a lot of work to do. Is that okay? Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.